Thank you, Garrett and Susan. Well, we're going to continue in Matthew 13 today. I'm going to encourage you to read Matthew 13 this week, because essentially tonight I'm going to start in verse 1 and go through 30. I won't read all of that to you tonight so that you might possibly stay engaged with me. But it is a beautiful picture about the kingdom of God and who Jesus calls us to be within that. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving Lord, in the silence of the hills, the rolling of the sea, the twinkle of the sky, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, the chatter of a child, and the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So Matthew 13, if you take time and really read it, you're going to see several different parables. My eyes are playing tricks on me. I'm going to dive in, and I'm going to wear the readers. It's okay. Well, you start with the parable of the sower, and we're going to talk all through that. And then somebody asks Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And he talks about that. Then he explains the parable of the sower. Then he gives another parable about weeds and wheat. Then he talks about the mustard seed. We're going to lay that one aside tonight. And then he again explains the parable of the weeds. So that's essentially 1 through 30. And as I was reading this again and again and again this week, it's just interesting how Jesus taught. And I've got to admit that I am not a gardener. So when I read these parables, I don't really connect with dirt and growing things and seeds. In fact, we're doing some landscaping in the back, and I found some fake plants that look fabulous, and I think I'm just going to dive right in. I'll just dust them. Yet I can understand who Jesus was talking to. And there was a period in my life where I thought it would be a great experiment for our family to have a garden. My mom always had a garden. I know what a garden is. And so we planted green beans, strawberries, and peppers. And things were going great. Until we planted watermelon. So y'all know, see, I didn't know. Watermelon is a vine that takes over your garden. In fact, the garden was over to the right, and I would take the dogs out, and sometimes they growl at the garden, and I assume there was probably something else inside the garden. Once we did get some green beans that year, we got a couple peppers and I think like two strawberries. The watermelons were little, and you cut them. They were nothing. Like, I didn't plant watermelon seeds again. And it took 15 garden bags to clean up the vines from said watermelon plant. I say this to you today to let you know my naiveness when it comes to planting and gardens and a green thumb. I just don't have it. But I do understand what Jesus was doing with these parables. So as I'm reading portions of them today, I want you to think, who am I in this story? Which is what I love about the parables. Are you the gardener? Are you the seed? Are you the master? Are you the harvester? And what's so great about Jesus' parables, I love reading. I read so much. In fact, I have a book club tomorrow that I need to finish a book for. But I have one book club that's just fun books, and I love just absorbing literature. And the Bible is the only book I have read my entire life. I'm not really a rereader. My husband, I think, has read Lonesome Dove like 400 times. My son has some certain books that he reads and rereads. I read a book and I'm done, except for Scripture. And what's been so great throughout my life as a Christian is I can identify with different people in the parables each and every time. Oh, these young people behind me are just so cute. We're going to start in Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Picture it. Jesus is on the side of a hill next to water. And people have come from all over to the place where Jesus then gets in a boat to speak to the people. You know how your voice can travel? It was like an amphitheater 2,000 years ago. So he could speak to all the people. Hear now the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood at the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Remember again who he's preaching to right now. He's preaching to men, women, children, slaves, slave owners, and they all understand what this means. Is your heart ready to listen and open and receive the word of God? Is the word of God in Scripture going to fall on rocky paths? Is it going to be scorched up by the sun because it is not rooted? Or is it falling on a heart that is no longer calloused, that is open and ready to hear? And then he goes on. This section is called the purpose of the parables. Later that day, the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you always speak in these parables?" And he answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets." Sometimes in the word, in other translations, the word is mysteries. I like that better. It's something that you share, but you don't quite know how. "The secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but none of this has been freely given. For to those who have much being given, and abundance from those have nothing, even then it's been taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables, that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, they do not understand. Yet with them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will look and never perceive. For the people's heart has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and it would heal them. But he says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, and did not hear it." He's reminding them that what they know is a gift to be used wisely, a gift to be shared, but a gift we must open ourselves to. Are you the sower? Are you the one that is walking along the side of the road, spreading the seed? And if you're walking along the side of the road, you should probably find what? Better soil. I also was reading about this particular part, and it talked about a lot about the harvest. The harvest is coming, and we're going to talk about that, about the weeds and the wheat, and that's what reminded me of my watermelon plant, so that just took over. But also discipleship, our lives. We can plan for so many things. Yet also, the storms will come. And this scripture is reminding us that we can do so much planning as a farmer plans or as a sower sows. But it's got to take root. It's got to take time. And we've got to have an open heart. I want to go on to the weeds and the wheat, because that one got me good this week. If you're a planner and you like things to go a certain way, this might tug at your heart and soul. Here in verse 24, the parable of the weeds amongst the wheat. He put before them another parable. So he just explained why I speak in parables. And he goes again. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seeds in a field. This was preparation. This was time. They sowed good seeds in a good field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where did all these weeds come from?" And he answered, "An enemy has done this." And the slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather all the weeds?" But then he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat to my barn.'" Let them grow together. That is not the expression that I would have said. I'd say, no, let's get rid of the riffraff. Let's get rid of the weeds. You hear about it in leadership books. Somebody who starts gossiping in your thing will just fester and create unrest amongst the people. Yet if you let them grow together, and you start at this first parable, and your heart is of good soil, it could be beautiful. Yet there's also time to clean it out. wait for the harvest. It's essentially the season that we're in right now in Lent, waiting for the harvest. I said to Dan this week, this Lent just hasn't felt as spiritually profound this year for me for some reason, which is okay. Like, you don't always need, you know, flashlights and, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's prayer practices or something, but it's felt mellow, which isn't a bad thing. I told y'all at the beginning of this year, Dan and I prayed for what? A boring year. So maybe I'm getting that this Lent. But the purpose of this time is to allow the seeds of faith that you have developed throughout your life to begin to grow. And you might notice a few weeds in there. Yet this scripture says the time will come at the harvest to then separate the good from the bad. The wheat will then go to the barn. The weeds will be burnt. What did we do on Ash Wednesday? Remind ourselves, we started this season reminding ourselves that we come from earth. And to the earth we will come again. It's our humbleness and our humanity. And in each and every single one of these passages, nothing is instant. It's probably why I'm not a very good gardener. I don't do well with tasks that can take a while, except for maybe my faith and my marriage and my family. Other than that, but gardening takes time. You've got to prepare the soil. You've got to plant the right seeds in the right places. You've got to care for them, nurture them. And then one day, you get to reap the harvest. In this scripture, the harvest is our hearts. The harvest is the kingdom of God. The scripture has all been talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom truth, the kingdom growth, understanding the kingdom, and then living in the kingdom. Because Jesus then sat down with his disciples after the crowds dispersed, and he continued. So I'm going to start in verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out his kingdom, and they will throw them in the furnace, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father." And then he says this again, "Let anyone with ears listen." Let anyone with ears listen. This message is for all people. And it makes sense for each and every one of us again and again and again to be reminded of who and how Jesus has called us to live. The harvest is coming. That is not said with fear and trepidation. That is not said with anger. That is said with joy. But like anything in our lives, we must prepare our hearts, our minds, our lives for the order that God has given us. Time and time again, he tells us, we are the children of the earth. We are the plants of this soil. Let us grow. Let us be the light. Let us shine. I truly encourage you to spend some time in Matthew 13. And don't just read it. I want you to read it, and I want you to think about a time where you were the sower, sharing the good news of the gospel with somebody. I want you to think about a time where somebody told you the good news and it withered up in the heat of the sun. I want you to think about a time where it took root and it transformed how you lived your life, how you conducted each and everything. I'm going to end this sermon praying right now over this group, because as I turn back, they got engaged, and their family's here, and there was a sign that says yes, and I just can't ignore it. So I'm gonna say a blessing over this family and this young love, that it takes root. And I want you to be blessed by the Spirit of the Lord in this place. So will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as this group stands behind us, excited about new love, new life, new opportunities, we ask that you invoke their hearts and their minds and their families so that what they do next grows the seeds that you were talking about. Fruits of the Spirit, love and light of the world. For we are thankful for new beginnings and new starts and new lives together. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.